All right, today we got Ryan Farrow.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, how you doing?
Doing good, man. Cruising along.
I feel that. You're up in the mountains of Virginia. Is it pretty warm up there this time of year?
Yes, it is. It is humid. The thunderstorms popping up in the afternoon just makes it kind of worse, but we're plugging away, kind of ready for fall, but we got a little bit to go, huh?
Yeah, man. Yeah, that's pretty much the same here in South Carolina. It's 100 degree days and, well, a lot of times like in the 90s, and then the heat index is over 100 and then like 80% humidity, and get rained on from 5 o'clock at night till you start work again the next morning.
yeah, dude. People up here are like, man, it's hot. I'm like, man, them dudes further south are getting fried. It is hot up here too, but it's warm, but it'd be
that's for sure. So what part of where at in Virginia are you located?
Yeah, dude. So if anybody is familiar with Virginia or kind of listening to this, so, if you're coming up through North Carolina, there's 29, goes through like the Piedmont area, shoots up into Virginia through Danville. If you keep riding that amazing road all the way past Lynchburg, I'm just north of Lynchburg, about 45 minutes, depending where you're at. And I'm south of Charlottesville, Virginia, where like University of Virginia is, by about 45 minutes. So yeah, kind of right in there. I'm at the base of the Blue Ridge Mountains. So the Blue Ridge Parkway, I could be there in like 20 minutes.
Oh, heck yeah, man.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. So Farrow Felling, that's family owned. You and three brothers?
Yeah. It's me and my two brothers who are twins. So we're all, the three of us own it and operate it. So as owner operators, and we've got a couple employees, not super big outfit, but yeah, kind of within the family and, doing our thing out here.
No, that's cool, dude. That's cool. And y'all been at it since, 2012.
Yeah, man. On and off kind of, story about that. We started back in 2012. I was newly married, didn't like really the job I was in. And started up, kind of got some movement going forward, got a job or had an opportunity to get a job with benefits. And everybody knows when you're an adult, you got to make some sacrificial choices. So I had a baby on the way, needed benefits, closed that thing down for a little bit. My brothers, which, I'm pretty biased because I'm their brother, but they're some of the baddest dudes I know. They worked for the Forest Service. So they were hot shots out west they were out of Santa Fe, New Mexico. So
they were jumping out of the planes and stuff, or
no. They there's a long history of that. So we all got into wildland firefighting pretty young. Guy came up to us, he's like, hey man, good friend of mine, Bill Perry. If you come to the Arbor's Camp project, well hopefully we'll talk about it later, he'll be there and you'll get to meet him. But he comes up and he goes, hey, you guys are pretty outgoing dudes. And I'm about 16. Goes, you guys ever thought about fighting fires in the mountains? I'm like, what? You get paid to run around the mountains and they're on fire? Like, that's awesome, dude. So we got involved all in wildland firefighting and, got pulled in different directions. But eventually my brothers, they went down a direction where they worked for the Forest Service pretty young. And they were what's called seasonal guys. So they'd go out they'd leave about late March, come back late October, and they're out of Santa Fe, New Mexico. You got hot shots. There's a whole entire array of wildland firefighters, but like hot shots and what you're thinking about, smoke jumpers, and you got like these other guys and girls called heli repellers. They're like the top of the line people. They're like the special forces of wildland firefighting. So my brother's never jumped out of a plane. My one brother, one more season he would have gone, he probably would have jumped out of a plane the next season, but he got married and responsibility, and it's not a very good family life, so he came back, and that's where kind of Farrow Felling continued to take off, and where we're at today. So pretty good story with that, pretty cool. So everybody came back and converged back in for Central Virginia, and we started cutting trees again back in about 2016, 17.
Yeah. Right
here, so.
Well, heck yeah. I mean, yeah, that's wild. That's coming from that background, I guess, high intensity.
Oh, yeah. Super, super high intensity.
So I've got a couple friends. I've known my first company, we had a couple that came in from Alaska. It was a husband and wife, and they were both hot shots out there.
Yeah.
And I guess the life out here was too boring for them. They had a baby, and then they decided, they're like, yeah, we want to go back to Alaska and continue doing what we were doing. And I was like, oh, okay.
Dude, Alaskans, they go back. I have a friend who's climbed with me, big rock climber, good dude, named Josh Clark, and he was here for a season in Virginia a couple years, and he just moved back to Anchorage, him and his wife. They're both native Alaskan people. So
it's a tough group up there, man.
Man, they're hardcore. They're hardcore. So
yeah, the husband and wife, the wife was on my crew, Lydia. She was on a pretty heavy removal crew, and she would tell me just wild stories. And I'm like, so you're kind of crazy, aren't you? Like, you're tough, man. And first time I've watched her climb, it was wild. I was training on Saturdays with her husband, and she was just watching us. She never put a saddle on, never really messed with the friction hitch or anything like that. We were climbing on all moving rope systems, and she asked if she could just kind of mess around, and I was like, yeah, sure, like that's cool. And she just started footlocking to the top of this tree, put on a saddle, climbing system was already set, and just started footlocking up. I was amazed for a minute, and then I had to tell her, I'm like, hey, like, get back down here. Be careful. What are you doing right now?
Yeah, dude, it's a wild place. My brothers were out there, I think 2014, Fairbanks lit off pretty big, and they were out there on that. And then we actually had the opportunity to go do a tree project in Kodiak this past year, or this you know, a couple months ago in April, and that was pretty rad. So, yeah, super cool people group. Really awesome folks.
No, that's cool, man. So you said you got kind of just pulled into the industry by a friend?
Yeah, man. So kind of my story in the industry. I'm originally a surf bum from Florida. Grew up down there till I was I think 14, around there. So I grew up just surfing a ton and being in the ocean. And moved to Virginia. My parents moved to Virginia to where we are. My dad changed or retired from what he was doing. We moved up here. I was really into the outdoors, changed, you know, surfboard for a backpack and a mountain bike and rock climbing shoes. My buddy, like I said, Bill Perry, he really introduced us to the whole wildland realm of things. And I got really into that. I thought I was going to be a wildland firefighter, man, gung-ho, like I was going to be hot shot, and applied for a couple crews actually, out in different areas of the country. But, I was doing what's called like AD work. So, about when I graduated high school, I got into, trying to better myself in the wildland, you know, profession, and having everything I could to be marketable. So I got my EMT, went to got my wildland firefighting stuff, like 130, 190, and a couple other stuff. And then actually got my structure firefighter stuff, just kind of have that. And, just started going out on some fires, a couple fed fires, nothing super amazing, but some stuff on the East Coast, like 2 week deployments, and would go around the state. And man, I always have loved anything exciting. So like being a faller on fires really sparked my interest. So got married in 2012. And that summer I went and got certified as a faller or sawyer for the Department of Forestry, Virginia Department of Forestry. And then went on my AD card or my red card they put on that I was qualified as what's called an entry level faller. So there are different classes. They used to go ABC. Now they go a class 3 faller is an A, and then it kind of goes up to a class 1's like a C faller. So,
okay.
So that really sparked my interest. In that time too, like I said, I thought I was going to be a hot shot. So applied for some crews. My wife and I are newly married, and, you know, I was gung-ho, ready to go, applied for one in Missoula, Montana. And I was like, man, I'm going to go out there and talk to their soup on the crew, really had some good conversations with him, getting all my stuff together. How it works in almost U.S. jobs when you apply is that you just got to get things at people's desk, if that makes sense. Because it goes to like a computer algorithm. So as long as you can get it to their desk and you interview well and you got some certs, they'll, you know, they're pretty good about, like, if you're a good dude, you work hard, or you're a good girl and you work hard and you're determined, you're probably going to have a job. So yeah, man, applied for all that. And then my wife ended up becoming pregnant with our kid, our first child. Unfortunately, the Lord in his divine providence knew better than me. My wife told me, hey, we can go out and do this thing, because I don't have family out there. We ended up actually losing that baby, unfortunately.
And, sorry to hear that.
Hey, it's all right, man. The Lord knows a lot more than I do and brought me all around to where I am today, which, hey, man, I'm happy where I am today. So I ended up pulling all my stuff out and started cutting trees because I still want to do something exciting.
So, yeah.
Feral felon. Yeah. And, man, I was just talking about this the other day, dude, with my brother. I was looking at some pictures of what we were doing back then. I'm like, how do we not die? it's amazing, man, how sometimes we do really dumb stuff and didn't die. And I'm like, how in the world did I get away with that? We were talking about that. So, you know, I was 20 or 21 years old around there. My brothers, they're 2.5 years younger than me. So they're about 17 and a half, 18 years old. And we're doing removals like with like a 2,500. You know, I was climbing with a rock climbing rope on a figure eight plate and spiking up stuff.
Probably like 8-9 millimeter rope.
Oh, yeah, dude. I still have it. it's been one of my work trucks just sitting there because I was going to use it for saddle hunting this year. But I'm like, I can do that. It still looks all right. Then I got, like I said, offered a job and kind of stepped away. My brothers, though, would come back and forth on the off season from wildland firefighting. So, you know, you only get paid 6 months out of the year. So they're young guys and they're trying to just make a few dollars. So we ended up opening it back up and cutting trees in the off season, like during the winter.
Okay.
Together. And man, you know, that was tough times. I gave a whole lot more credit to my brothers, dude, in that aspect. They really took it off from the ground. So at the time I was working a full-time job. So in my, you know, furthering of my career, I actually became a firefighter paramedic. So I went to paramedic school and a bunch of different rope tech schools and stuff, and worked at a fire department in the Blue Ridge Mountains for almost 9 years. I just left there part-time because I was part-time for a while, still doing both. I was working full-time cutting trees and then just keep my paramedic up. I'd pick up, you know, shift here and there a month. But I left last year, my whole entire career of firing EMS. So my brothers, man, they came back, in 2016, we made it an LLC, or they started it up as an LLC again, and, man, took it off. I don't know how people do business by themselves running a big show. 'Cause it's hard. Like, running a business is a lifestyle, dude. It's definitely not
the job. It's pretty tough. I've been trying to do – I've been kind of doing something on my own since last July. And I'm kind of over it and kind of tossing it. And then I'm like, all right, what do I really want to do? Like, what am I going to enjoy? So there's people that are in it and some people that are not. And I'm kind of not that guy. And like you said, it probably would have been easier if I find a decent partner, you know, to – throw in with me.
Yeah, man, it goes a long way. So, you know, since 2016, man, the Lord's been good and we've just been able to grow and do some really cool things and do some really cool projects and really cool trees. And we do a lot of climbing here, you know, little crane access. So we do a lot of rigging, big rigging.
Yeah.
So man, and it's so awesome. I truly do. You know, a lot of people are like, how do you work with your brothers or family every day? Because like my brothers, so how our crew's, you know, made is it's myself. I'm in the field every day. my brother Brandon, he's an ISA track and ISA certified arborist and track certified arborist. He's in the field. And then my brother Aaron is the guy who does like sales work and is the general manager kind of deal.
Oh, okay.
And then my dad does a bunch of maintenance for us. Shout out to my dad. That dude is a patient man. Love him. and then my cousin works for us. Another young guy works for us. And then we have guys who work part-time on bigger projects. And then we mentor some climbers from time to time. So,
oh, heck yeah.
Yeah. Man. So nothing super, we're not a really big crew. We found, man, being a smaller crew has a lot of advantages. yeah, I don't think we ever want to have like six crews. It's a lot of headache.
Yeah, dude, that's what I've always loved. The real small base things, like one or two crews running. I've worked with companies rolling four and five crews, and some of them's got it down pretty well, and some of them don't. Like my first company, they're, you know, ran five crews, and they had it, like the logistics side. I worked with another company that was running the same crews, and it was rough. It was kind of a nightmare as far as like scheduling and logistically getting everybody rolling, and a lot of folks missing work, and then that just destroys everything. Like one dude calls out, it's madhouse.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
But it's kind of easier to pick up the slack when you're just running, you know, two crews.
Dude, it is. I mean, it's pretty good. You know, and everybody has a different specialty. That's kind of, man, the beauty of it. So we've really taken that idea of wall iron firefighting or general or mountain rescue and tried to transfer that into the tree industry as our crew kind of runs. So it's kind of how we run the show. Everybody mm-hmm. who does something different as a specialty kind of thing. So like my brother who does, you know, who's ISA certified, my brother Brandon, he does a lot of tree health stuff. Talks, you know, super smart guy in that, loves tree health, yeah. Loves track stuff, and just a whiz at that. He's also a super bad of the bone faller and climber. Then my other brother, Aaron, man, the dude is just on point with like knowing how much, like down to the hour of what a job's going to take, and just building out trucks, man, and working with commercial companies and big contracts and, you know, just killing it. And then I do mostly like, you know, rigging and splicing and, you know, purchasing like rope and figuring out new ways we could do this or that, or how are we going to get this yeah. off of that? So we all have different, you know, things that we have our strengths at, and we just kind of put them all together. And it really works out. So,
That's cool, man. It sounds like you guys all, you sync up well, and everyone, like you're saying, everyone's bringing something, and I mean, kind of invaluable right there, you know, like that's good to hear. And then your dad's involved doing the mechanic stuff. That's so cool.
Yeah, dude. He's a man. He's working on, we have a Freightliner chip truck. He's putting back together. We got it. And then I was driving it back from South Carolina. Matter of fact, Graffney, I don't know if you're familiar with that place.
Is it upstate?
Yeah. Like I think Western, Northwestern kind of deal.
Okay.
But we have, they built out a couple trucks for us where we buy, you know, the chassis, and then we find a box somewhere, or like they build out a box or something. But I was driving back not too long ago, and it like, you know, overheated all the way back. So I had to stay on the highway, like rolling, heat on, windows down, frying just all the way from there. And, you know, and so he's killing it. And the guy could fix anything. He could put anything together, fix it. I'm like, how did you even figure that out? But he's got it going on. So yeah, he's a huge help. That's for sure.
No, that's awesome. So are you keeping all your certifications like EMT and stuff like that, or?
Yeah, man. So, that's kind of the struggle is, you know, so I've been trying to get my ISA for a while, but in the midst of all that, trying to keep up a lot of education that I have on the backside too, that actually gets us jobs, believe it or not, in different places and allows us to have different opportunity. It's kind of cool when you get to show up somewhere and, you know, all the fallers are certified fallers and, or trainers for the Department of Forestry or, you know, paramedics. So it works out pretty well. So yeah, keeping that up, like every 2 years I have to recert like 60 hours alone from a paramedic. And then on top of that, all the other things. So yeah, it's an ongoing process. Last thing I want to do when I get home from removal is look at a computer to figure out how to research more hours. But
yeah, I can imagine.
I'm gonna keep it up. It was a long road that I ran doing that. So
that's good to have too, man. That was I worked with a company last year, and there was a firefighter that worked part time with us, and he was a paramedic, and I guess EMT certified, and I loved having him on the crew. I was like, yeah, man, if something goes down, I was like, we've got him as long as he's not the one getting injured.
Oh, thanks. It's cool, man. It's kind of funny. Most people have never really known I did that for a living, because I've always looked like a mountain bum. And I have a beard right now. My hair's really long. I used to work in fire EMS and put my hair up. And when I did my career, and the last
you look a little crusty, man.
Yeah, the last thing they ever expected is that I did that. And I was a climbing guide, so I'm actually a certified climbing guide too. I've done too many things, I guess. But I became a certified climbing guide, and I guided for a pretty good while. And that's everybody thought that's what I did full time. I was just a climbing guide.
Yeah, that's what I would envision you being, like a mountain guide somewhere.
Yeah, well, appreciate it.
You go on the river or climbing, doing something.
Yeah, man, I've been in the mountains pretty hard for a long time, so it works out.
Yeah, so everyone, they can find Pharaoh Felling, you guys, Facebook, Instagram. You're on YouTube as well, right?
Yeah, a little bit. We don't, man, the YouTube thing's always hard. I love videos, but I hate making content.
I'm the same way. Like I bought a GoPro not long ago, and I'm recording jobs and stuff. And then I'll get home and I'll sit down, like try to do the editing. And I'm like, I don't want to do this right now,
dude. It is.
So I found it easier just to do quick edits.
Oh man. So I was always baffled by these guys who had these 1 minute videos on Instagram. I'm like, what is this thing with such cool music? Like the reels.
Yeah.
I'm horrible with technology, dude. I am so horrible.
I'm the same. I struggle.
But dude, so I was like, man, I can take my GoPro and Bluetooth it to my phone and never have to get on a computer. So then I actually reached out to a couple of awesome dudes on Instagram. There's like Zigzag. Is a Zigzag Man. I don't actually remember his handle on there. Hit the guy's like awesome on there.
Yeah,
I think Zach. Yeah, and Joseph of the Ozarks, I think that's his thing. And they're always killing it with the reels. So I reached out, like, how do you guys do this? And like, it's easy. Just press the button on Instagram and you upload your clips. And I was like, oh man. So that changed a lot for me. And for us, we're like, hey, I could make a 60-second clip real fast. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I mean, I applaud like, the guys that are into the big edits, like August Sonicky and stuff. And I'm like, man, I guess if you got it, he's been doing it so long. I was like, it must just be pretty easy to you now, but
yeah,
and knowing what to capture, when to capture it, and then to make it into a nice story.
Yeah, man, the storyline thing. And that's one thing too, like YouTube, I'm like, there's so many dudes on there doing it. I'm like, I'm not even in the same realm. So is it probably won't even be worth it, because it'd be so botched and like, cut up. Oh, yeah. It won't even be looking good. The information might be good, but it won't be looking good. So I've kind of stayed away from that, to be honest.
That's kind of the same with the podcast. I mean, I'm doing all this with the Chromebook right now, and I'm trying to get a Mac so I can do a little bit more editing with it. I can create an intro and stuff, because that's been the complaint I've had so far. They're like, dude, you need an intro. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I'm stupid and I don't know how to work this Chromebook. So I kind of like the raw thing. It's easy.
Hey dude, I think it's rad. my brother, I said, hey man, you listen to that thing the other day with Daryl. He's like, yeah, dude, I really dig the podcast, man. They're just like real dudes having real conversations, not all this fluff. And I'm like, right on. There's something to be had, said for simplicity. So keep at it,
man. I appreciate it. Yeah. Yeah, that's probably how we're going to roll. Like I said, I might change it up some and listen to people if they've got any feedback. And, luckily everyone's been pretty nice about it. I listen to it and I'm just like, I need to change this. I need to do better on that. And I'm glad everyone else is nice to me, though.
Oh, man. Well, keep at it, man. You're doing a good thing. So,
well, appreciate you, man. So you've got the Arbor's Camp project coming up, dude. Camp Crossroads.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, man. I'm I'm excited for that. It's coming up pretty quick.
Is this the first one you've done? Like, I've just found y'all's Instagram for that page. And
yeah. Yeah, there's not, looks like not a lot of content on it, unfortunately. no, so, like, how kind of that spurned on is, so in 2019, the end of 2019, or maybe not 20, we were doing a project at another camp called Camp Kumbaya in Lynchburg, Virginia. They, you know, everybody knows if you live in the Southeast that ash borer beetles are a huge issue and they kill a ton of ash trees. So we're in there mitigating hazard ash trees for the camp under a grant that they got through the state. So we went as far as really their finances could take them. But they still had a pretty good amount of ash trees to deal with. So, so my brother and his, just genius is like, hey man, we should get a bunch of timber fallers together and arborists together and come out here on a Saturday and, you know, cut some trees. So we did that. Man, it would have been like January of 2020, I believe, or 20, maybe it was 2021. And we, man, we got like 30 ash trees down. So, we went in there and took names and got things done.
Nice.
So, yeah, so it went pretty well. And we're like, we should make this a like annual thing for different camps. And that's kind of the goal with it is that, hey, a way to give back to the community, but also like a real time learning, day for people, you know?
Yeah.
We all know we go to trainings and sometimes, we hear an instructor talking a lot and we really don't get a lot of hands-on or like one-on-one time. And I feel like that's a super valuable thing in anything. When you get to like put your hands on things and make cuts or learn systems and actually apply them. So yeah, so that's the goal in a nutshell. But, yeah, this is going to be our second one. So I'm pretty excited about it. Pretty excited of all the interest in it so far. So that's cool.
Yeah, dude, I'm going to keep pushing it, man. I shared it the other day. I'm going to share it again, probably tag it up when we post this, the podcast episode. So you're doing it August 26th to the 28th.
Yeah. So, so if anybody's listening wants to come, it's at this really cool camp called Camp Crossroads. It's in the Blue Ridge Mountains. You guys can have like amazing views.
Yeah. I Googled it, man. And it looked, yeah, I messaged you about it. I was like, dude, it looks
yeah,
awesome.
Dude, it's like
perfect for tree guys.
Super rad. And, yeah, so the actual work day is the 27th. So if you live local or somebody's listening to this lives within an hour and just wants to drive the 27th, you're more welcome to drive up there. The 26th or 28th is for like, you know, like for you. When you come, you got a place to crash. So you don't have to come up that day. So so they have cabins and stuff there, or these lodge houses. And, you know, we'll just get a bunkhouse and split up and everybody could like sleep there who needs to sleep there kind of deal. They're going to feed us. They got like a big mess hall cafeteria thing. I mean, it really looks like a camp that you would have seen on like some Disney movie back in like the 90s, early 2000s, you know, Parent Trap or something.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like. So, maybe so it's going to be really cool. It'll be a lot of really cool people. I'm super stoked of the folks coming. I know Daryl's going to try to be there. Mr. Coot from Triest. Think he does a lot with them. He's going to try to be there.
Vincent.
Yeah, man. Yeah. It's funny because I've never met any of these dudes in person, but I've talked to them a whole lot on social media and we throw things back and forth. So I'm really excited to meet some of these guys. There's this guy, I don't know if you know him, but he's in Georgia. His name's, I think he goes by Dan the Tree Man. Dan, he's down there. If you haven't seen him on Instagram, check him out. Super uplifting dude. And actually, like one of those humble crushers, man. The dude is doing some awesome tree work, but really under the radar. So he might be coming up from Georgia, but yeah, and then a bunch of people from West Virginia and like, you know, Virginia as a whole. So I'm super excited. But the goal is for it is that what we'll do is we'll break up into groups, like maybe like five people or less, depending on what we're doing. And, you know, we'll break them into groups with like a senior person of the group that has experience. And go out and conquer projects together. Would it be whether it be a removal or pruning or a bunch of timber falling? Yeah. So everybody gets to cut and do stuff.
Heck yeah, man. That sounds fun too with the different groups. So yeah, I imagine there'll be so much experience divided in between each one. It'll be fun to kind of jump around and see what's happening everywhere.
Oh yeah, dude. I'm stoked to see people's climbing style. I just love watching how people climb and what they do in the canopy. It's really rad to see. And we have some really awesome sponsors. Gordy from West Coast Saws, man, that dude is awesome. He sent us a pretty good amount of stuff. Over a bark box, some 3-point dogs, an airfield system.
Oh, heck yeah.
A hoodie. Somebody could win the hoodie. Represent West Coast. And then Rain Gear Pros donating a rain jacket. So that's really rad. And then ARB Sessions coming alongside and donating some stuff along with some saw shops. And one thing that's really cool is there's a company, I was demoing some saws for them called Greenworks. They do battery powered stuff like saws and different things. But they also have...
Yeah, I think I saw you post something about
that. Yeah, dude. I just... I'm writing up a review on the stuff, so I'll try to post that when I do because I'm working with them. But yeah, they're kind of up and coming in the electric saw world, but they do a lot of crazy battery-powered stuff in general, like zero turns and like UTVs, like side-by-sides.
Yeah.
And dude, they're trying to bring... I'm hoping, but they said they're going to bring two of their all-terrain side-by-sides up there. So...
What? Yeah, that'll be fun.
So like the people timber falling, man, if you want to ride a cool side-by-side, sign up because you're probably going to ride that thing up the mountain. So it's going to be cool, man. There's going to be a lot.
That'd be sweet. So are we allowed to bring like an ATV or something?
I don't think they allowed ATVs there. They got their golf carts and things.
Okay.
And they're, we have a couple like little flatbeds. Kind of deal that we're going to be able to take around. But man, when they bring the UTV, if they bring that Greenworks does, that's going to be super cool because they're going to bring a couple of them, they said, and some saws.
Yeah, I'd be interested in checking that out.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
I imagine that's going to be battery powered. I guess some cells or something. I don't know, man. That's crazy.
Yeah, dude, it's like these like 680 volt batteries. Crazy.
Yeah, I guess a Prius in the woods. I don't know what to imagine. Yeah. That'll be fun though.
For sure.
So that's going to be sweet, man. That's cool. And then, we talked a little bit earlier. You're getting on with Nats. So did Daryl kind of talk with you on that too? Or I know you went to the Roanoke, Virginia one that Daryl led.
Yeah, dude.
He was stoked on you guys out there. And
yeah, man, he was a cool dude there teaching. My hat goes off to him because, it's a pretty good-sized crowd. Being outside talking all day wears on you. It's like more tiring than working all day almost. He was out there, dude, teaching, and we're talking about some stuff and different experiences and the camp project and timber falling and stuff. And he was like, hey, you should apply. So yeah, we'll see where that goes. I'm hoping that that I could get on with them, gone through the process, and we'll see kind of how it pans out. But I will say I've been super impressed by them as a whole. If whoever listening doesn't know North American Training Solutions, they are a rad company and they got a lot of different trainings going on all over the country. So if you're trying to learn something, probably a good resource to reach out to. For sure.
Oh yeah, for sure. Especially for groups and stuff too. I mean, they'll come out to and do like companies can hire them out for the day to come out there and do some training. I've known a couple people up in the got a good buddy of mine. He got a lot of qualifications through Nats when he was in PA, timber felling and stuff, and kind of something similar to what you had going on. A camp up there reached out to his company. A bunch of hazardous trees that needed to come down, and then they reached out to Nats and coordinated it. So Nats came out there and they got a bunch of free training, being taught felling. I think Mark Chisholm was out there helping them. Like, sounded rad. I was like, yeah, that's a cool little project y'all are on.
Yeah, dude. That would be sweet. That is something like a big passion of mine is education and just trying to do better. We could always be in a state of learning. Unfortunately, that's not always the known fact of the tree industry. but we could always be learning, and no matter how many years of experience we have, we could always learn something. And yeah, so I'm really stoked to be able to, you know, do some things if I get on board with them and go out and just help people be safer. You know, we can as an industry always do better of being safe and doing things correctly.
Yep. Yeah. I don't like seeing people get hurt. I mean, I hear locally, I'm friends with a couple firefighters out here, and they'll, they'll hear the first person that gets injured in the area on a tree job, and they'll message me and be like, "Hey, are you good?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm fine, man." And, you know, get to the bottom. We'll figure out, you know, who got hurt, what happened and stuff. And then it's a bummer. A lot of times you're like preventable and proper training, it would have been good. And I don't like seeing anybody get hurt. So if there's any way that I can help, definitely would love to.
Yeah, dude. That is a sad fact. Kind of the same thing up here. You know, people, small town, right? We got one stoplight. And so anybody here, is anybody get hurt in a tree related accident, they give us a holler and like, "Hey man, you guys okay?" And we're like, "Yeah, we're good." And praise Lord, I haven't had really any serious accidents. I did fall out of a tree one time. I have done that. Didn't get hurt, but it was pretty eye opening. That happened. And it was an interesting experience, but it showed me something. So using it as a learning experience.
Yeah, I mean that's the same with me. I've only had one injury, and same thing. Fell from a tree about 27 foot and hit a driveway, and I didn't come from that one unscathed. My broke two vertebrae in my back, my T11 and T12. So broke my back, and luckily, learned a lot from that. And that's kind of what turned me into what I enjoy now, the teaching and the training and stuff. There's a lot of things that could have prevented that accident that everyone recognized. So it hurt, but a lot of good kind of came from it. Kind of gave me a vision of what I wanted to do. And then, realizing what happened and what we could have all done better collectively.
Yeah, man. That's kind of the burden I feel as a climber. We put it on our shoulders sometimes of like, we're kind of the it on a job, and we're, we got a lot of times we're kind of almost running the show, so to speak. Everybody's waiting on you. We can make bad decisions on that part. And,
that's kind of what came into that one, complacency and rushing. It was end of the day and we wanted to go home, and then, just complacency kind of got us.
Yeah, dude. I tell people, I'm a pretty transparent dude in general about my life and the hangups I've had and the things I've gone through. And I remember at the Nats training with Daryl, we were talking about bounce testing and the importance of doing that. And I'm like, yeah, dude, I fell out of a tree like 2 months ago because I didn't bounce test something right. And I got up like 20 feet and broke it out and hit the ground. And everybody was like, "What? Ooh, this guy fell out of a tree?" I'm like, dude, it doesn't matter how good you are. You make bad decisions when we, don't think about things. It's super important. And unfortunately too, I don't know. Social media is a real cool engine to go and share cool information.
It can be.
Yeah, it can and can't be. That is true. That's
like a double-edged sword.
That's where I'm going with that too. So, I put some stuff on social media. I enjoy posting about jobs. Enjoy posting goofy videos throughout the day, but I also enjoy.
Yeah, man, I love your funny videos. There was one the other morning that had me rolling. I think you were picking up supplies for the crew for the day, and I think there's some water and Gatorade, and then a bunch of barbecue potatoes. <and stuff. laughs> I was like, "That's my dude right there." Yeah,
everybody probably thinks I talk like that. It's funny. This is my real voice, guys. So it's hilarious. But man, people send me the randomest things on Messenger, like of what they're doing. I don't know what the need is for us in the industry to prove ourselves like awesome. And it's good. We should have some good pride about our job. I seriously think so. But humble crushing goes a long way. Yeah. And man, sometimes they send me stuff. I remember I sent something to Daryl. I was like, "Hey, you approve of this?" And it was something way off the wall climbing style wise. And he's like, Don't tell me people send you that regularly. I'm like, oh, way too regular.
To like, you get what they're getting comfortable.
I'm like, don't do that, please. You're gonna hurt yourself. Just because probably been there, done that, and almost hurt myself doing it. I've had a lot of close calls, and you know, if you're in the industry cutting if you're cutting at high production levels and stuff, you got a lot of near misses. Unfortunately, we could lower that though for sure. But
oh yeah, yeah. No, that's a, yeah, I agree with all that. It's wild. I see things all the time on social media and I want to chip in there and say something. And then I'll look at the comments and so many people do. And I'm like, all right.
Yeah. Dude.
I don't need to say anything.
I don't comment on anything usually on social media, unless it's in positive fashion. Like, hey man, keep it up. I just kind of stay away from the other stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly, man. And, well, it's fun, man. I enjoy this job so much. It's so giving and so rewarding, and it's awesome. You know, like you're doing the Nats thing and doing this training. It's great just giving back, pushing all that back to the next generation. For, you know, they might not have it. They might not have these things. And fortunately for me, and it sounds like with you, I've had a lot of good opportunities coming up and meeting good folks, training evolutions, and good mentors to learn from.
Yeah, dude, that is a real cool thing to me. I was listening to, you know, the last podcast and talking about the importance of mentorship. And man, that's like such an important thing. I will say, unfortunately, I never really got that opportunity in the tree industry, so to speak.
Yeah, it sounds like you kind of, besides the wildland firefighting and doing the felling and stuff, you kind of like hit the ground running.
Yeah, dude. So really.
But at least you had that safety and training in there. I imagine they had some pretty good, solid like protocols and stuff you had to follow.
You know, pretty much your job and all that, just like in the tree industry, is to harness the chaos, right? So when we're harnessing the chaos, you got to kind of be chill about it. So you can't take yourself too serious.
No, yeah, it's good to joke and have fun. That's what I really love with like communication and the centers and the pack talks and stuff now, because I think people can tell when I start getting uncomfortable. I'll start talking a lot and kind of like goofing off and having fun, and they'll be like, "Hey, you know, take this seriously." I was like, "I'm taking it very seriously," but
yeah.
You know, this helps me. I was like, the talking and laughing and joking and cutting up, that's what kind of gets me through the day.
Yeah, dude. Man, dude, intercoms are such an amazing thing. Help you not make bad decisions because you have people bouncing ideas from what they could see. But also, you have a level head.
Things change so rapidly. And, I think it's great to all be on the ground. Like a lot of times my plane changes, we'll be on the ground discussing what we're going to do and stuff, and then climb up, start getting my rigging and things, and I'll see gaps that we didn't see from the base of the tree. And, and like I said, things change.
Oh, absolutely, so. Man. And, that's a big, big part of it. And, for me, that was a lot of education safety wise, timber falling and stuff really showed me a lot, cutting style wise. And I tell people in the tree industry, we should have a pretty broad toolbox of things to pull from. So you can't just focus on cutting good. You can't just focus on being a good climber or this. Kind of got to have it all in a package. So like for me, climbing wise, I was a big rock climber for like a really long time. I went and became a certified guide. And then I had a bunch of rope access stuff that I knew from doing mountain rescue and I was certified in. So that's really like the rope aspect, how that comes to fruition or came to fruition for me. So it was like a lack of mentorship on the arbitrary side of rope work, but like a whole lot of it on the any other side of rope work. And man, ropes are like a fascinating thing, I think. So kind of big rope nerd.
The ropes and all the gadgets and stuff, man. It's and how they're going to react on that rope. That's the thing that I have a lot of fun with, is trying out, the rope runners and the rope wrenches and akimbos, throwing them on different lines and see how they react and what I like on which rope and knot. I mean, I'm a big Kernmaster. This 11 mils is probably my favorite climb line out there.
Yeah, they're it's really cool. One thing that was, you know, really I got to really kind of dive into was like rigging and like factors of like rigging, like forces and things like that.
Yeah.
And it really changed the game of how I looked at tree work. Cause I was like, you know, my job when I was working in Fire EMS was like figure out how to get this person off the side of a mountain of a certain group of people and limited resources. Cause I was doing a lot of stuff in the mountains. So, and then when I was guiding climbs, I got to guide in West Virginia, like Seneca Rocks and New River Gorge, and got to guide in North Carolina a little bit and around Virginia. And it was just, yeah, all access. And how do we get from point A to point B? So it really meshed really well into the tree world. I truly believe. And dude, it's so fascinating to me how we could take like a 500 pound piece, right? Pick it up, put this limb into compression and pick this whole thing up and move it. And it's yeah. Fine. And that's why I think knowing number one tree species, knowing what ropes could do, knowing resultants and forces and how these play into, you know, the rigging triad of things, go so long and such a long way. The
rigging is what saves my butt a lot of times. You know, I'm pretty decent with my cuts and stuff like that. But rigging and knowing where you're tying that limb off to and the direction you're going to be pulling it and how you can make that notch work appropriately for you, and always have fun with that. It's really fun when I get jobs that I don't have to rig on. This might be my favorite. Just to see what I can make a limb do without a rope.
Yeah, I mean,
like notching it this way, doing an open face, doing a humble, doing a conventional. Maybe I'll try to snipe it some. Maybe I'll make a snap cut. Trying to see where I can peel it around and make that holding wood, that hinge wood do for me. That's always a good time. Those jobs are few and far between, but when I get them,
who doesn't like no cleanup or no rigging jobs? I don't know anybody who doesn't, but if you do, sorry, I feel bad for you because I love no cleanup jobs. Yeah. Man, I get to cut stuff and go home. That's awesome. Very few and far between. I mean, I've kind of seen a little bit what you're climbing down there. It looks like you're kind of like a lot of conifers, like pines and stuff. Is that like the case or?
Yeah, we do. I mean, we've got a lot of good hardwoods too, but there's so many pine trees. People just down here have a hate for pine trees, tired of picking up needles and, you know, usual kind of complaint with that. And right now, running into a lot of dead pines. We kind of had a drought for 2 months there and, you know, stressing out them pines. And we've got a really bad problem with the southern pine beetle, so... You know, you got the primary and then you get that secondary coming in there. So a lot of dead pines popping up and, you know, luckily, I don't know. I think, somebody was messaging me about doing dead pines the other day and how I felt about them. And I was like, yeah, one cut at a time, dude. One cut at a time. Oh. I was like, if something freaks me out, I've got the decision to get down if I need to.
Yeah, but, dude, that's awesome to hear.
But we do have a lot of good hardwoods, big oaks, live oaks, willow oaks, a lot of water oaks, you know, hickories and big sweet gums and poplars.
Yeah.
It's, kind of this area was a marshland for a while. We're near the Congaree, swamp. So at one point, a lot of this all was the Congaree. So yeah, some big swamp trees, the sweet gums and poplars.
Dude, that's awesome. Always
tall pines.
I tell people, I'm like, you want to see some bad of the bone climbers? There's the East Coast, the Southeast, and especially produces some pretty awesome climbers, I do feel.
So much good
variety. Yeah, well, you got to learn how to climb good, man. Like, it's I don't know. It's everything's so broad and tall too, you know? It's not like, oh, it's just tall. No, it's like tall and just as wide. You're like, I got to get all the way over there to like end weight, reduce this, or I got to rig this like 40-foot branch out over this house that's like only 20 feet off the house. How do I get that off there? Like, so it really makes you think pretty hardcore. And, we don't cut a lot of pines up here. Really, you know, we might have the, you know, stray Virginia pine, you know, some white pine and stuff, but not too often are we cutting them.
Yeah, so we've got a lot of the loblollies here. We do have some longleafs. Those longleafs are a pain. I'd much rather just do a loblolly, get high up. Most of the longleafs here are short and stubby and just fat limbs.
Yeah.
And most of the time you get on those, it's pretty kind of limited on the rigging situations.
Yeah, there's complexity to it. I just hate being sticky all day, dude.
Oh, yeah, the gear's sticky, your rope's sticky, and pine pitch all over your arms.
Oh, yeah, man.
All over the ropes. Then you forget about it. The next day, you'll try to run a device on the rope that's been covered in sap all night. And
terrible. My brother, he was running a Unisender the other day, and he, like, hit a spot of pitch on a rope, and he was, like, pretty furious. He's like, almost dumped them because it just, you know, it hits it on a Unisender and then you kind of like go to unlock and it's just like blap and drops you a little bit. And because it doesn't run well on that, but he forgot there was a spotter.
Is that what he's running on, a single line mostly?
No, dude, we run all sorts of stuff. And, you know, that's the beauty of having a couple of us is we get to kind of try out whatever we want and see which one we like and then kind of go with that. So as far as ropes and things like that, we've kind of had that model for a pretty good while. Now we've gotten to the point where we've done it long enough. We're figuring out what we like the most and how we like things set up. So, it's working out now. Like right now, you know, so my brother and I have a very similar climbing style. We climb on different like stuff though, saddle wise.
So you're riding in the true mission.
Yeah.
What device are you running?
So I was running the Rope Runner Pro pretty hard. I got it like last fall, and then it just started having issues. You know, everybody kind of knows the bird issue, and it's just been getting dirty like really fast, and gets like really annoying. in my humble opinion,
yeah.
So you know, I got to take a shot, blow it out, grease it again. Two climbs later, same thing happens. I got to take it. You know, kind of gets on my nerves. But before that, I ran a Zigzag, you know, Petzl, don't freak out, but I had it on a Rheon Rounds tether. awesome tether, if you guys have never run that, because it's just, I like it. So ran that and then ran Rope Runner Pro. And then I did a project in Alaska in April, and I really got into climbing on a hitch, dude. Like, I don't know if you know Patrick Fitch, he's on Instagram. You should get him on here sometime, man. Dude is another humble crusher, I do believe, and just talented climber.
He's good. He put out a crane.
Oh, dude, when he's like rigging into the crane. I'm sure everyone's losing their mind, dude. Usually if we do stuff like that, we don't post anything. Because I'm like, I don't want all the comments. But he's such a – I respect him highly. I don't know him personally. I've gotten to talk to him again, like on social media and stuff, and super talented guy, but he runs a hitch pretty frequently. I'm like, man, this guy's just slaying it on this hitch. Maybe there's something to it again. So I was going to Alaska, and I really didn't want to deal for Rope Runner Pro, so I started climbing on a hitch really hardcore for like 3 months. And I spliced my own stuff, so I was like, I'm going to splice like a really short hitch. So I started splicing, dude, like 24-inch beeline, like super short. And really got into that. So I climb on a hitch a lot nowadays, unless I'm climbing a pine or something sticky, or I just kind of want to like climb on a Rope Runner that day. I'll climb on a Rope Runner. So kind of go back and forth, Rope Runner Pro, and just a hitch cord on like a normal, you know, rope wrench.
Yeah, that's cool, man. And it sounds like you're big into that splicing too.
A little bit. I'm nowhere near as good as a lot of guys. Just, you know, a lot of rigging stuff, you know, double braid and splice some climbing lines. I would never splice anything for anybody really, unless it's like, you know, dead eye sling or something. Cause that's, you can never splice a dead eye sling. They're like super easy, or putting rings on stuff. But yeah, I spliced my climbing lines or like my lanyards, stuff like that.
You have to hit up David Ricks at the Treeist. He big into splicing, and I mean he'll splice whatever for you. And I mean I think he's doing splicing classes now. I'm not sure how often. I think he's doing it like quarterly or something.
I've checked him out.
I'd love for him to do like a Fids and Fibers course, like do a whole weekend and just like camp out and nerd out over rope.
Dude, it is it's so cool. And he's an amazing splicer, man. Like I watch his content and I'm like, this guy is a talented dude. I reached out to him a little bit when I was trying to trying to figure out maybe some trainings to splice. Unfortunately there's not a lot, offered these days. A lot of people are really kind of streamlining of having their own splicers. I think like Teufelberger and Samson are like the only people really putting out content for people to splice at their own risk.
Yeah, because I mean, and I like that too. I like that they'll kind of give out the directions for, especially with the newer ropes that are coming through, the Adrenaline and the Statics and stuff, making sure no one gets
hurt. Dude, for sure.
David's got it all worked out. Like I said, I wish he would do like a weekend to just camp out and some fellowship.
You hit him up when you're at like the Treeist or something about that. Like, hey, man.
I think I've mentioned it to him once or twice, and he's got his hands full. That's such a fast-growing company and moving, and they've got their hands in a lot of stuff, and they balance it well. But yeah, it'd be cool. I have to keep maybe if I keep hounding them, like do it, try it. Like I would definitely come and hang out
for sure. So you climb? Are you climbing like predominantly like double rope SRT? Like what are you guys climbing down there really?
I move around a lot. I like kind of switching around. I'm a dummy. I think I carry like three different systems on me about at all times. So I normally have my rope runner with me, a hitch climber pulley set up for if I want to do some moving rope. And sometimes I'll throw my wrench or my akimbo on there. It kind of matters what I got going on and what I want to do that day. But I want to say my rope runner pro, and I always have a moving rope system with me. If I'm climbing pine trees, a lot of times I'll start out moving rope and, just self advance to the top of the tree, set up all my rigging, and then I'll switch out to, my rope runner and come back down single line. So I'm like doubling up single down.
Yeah.
If I'm going to be pruning, I'll probably be running the rope runner again, just doing on a single line, a lot of canopy anchors. Yeah. If I know there's going to be a buttload of pruning, then I'm probably going to use my wrench and, bring my akimbo with me too, just for like drag and tell and stuff like that. Setting up some really good work positioning if I need to.
Like, that's all awesome. That's all awesome. I remember I was in, talking to some folks from NASA, like, what do you climb on all the time? You climb double rope? I'm like, maybe like 5% of the time. Not because I don't think it's a rad. I think everybody should know how to climb double rope. Being a rock climber for so long, it really is not my style too much. I'll do goofing or like same thing, advancing up trees if I'm spiking or.
Yeah, and I like the mechanical advantage with it. Like I get, you're on that 2-to-1 and then coming back from limb walks can sometimes be a breeze.
Yeah, for sure. That is.
Just a lot of work.
Well, I end up rope walking a lot. So I have like a foot ascender on my spurs. So I just like clip into my chest piece and it's like boop boop boop. I don't know. Maybe I was listening to Daryl's thing about working the tree. I'm like, man, I need to climb on Daryl. Maybe I'm working the tree the wrong way. Maybe I'm getting too tired here. It's kind of my thing, and then just obviously all the change of directions you're doing.
Hopefully so the 27th is going to be the main working day. I'm probably going to ride up there, man. I might ride up there like the 25th that night and then crash for the 26th. We'll figure that out. So are you going to be climbing just kind of having fun on the 26th?
I'll show just up kind of and just kind of like people. help checking people in, hanging out. We'll probably have, I'm guessing we'll probably have like a bonfire, chill, okay. You know, talk.
So the 26th that night is kind of when check-in's going to happen.
And stuff.
Okay, cool. So yeah, I could leave that morning.
Yeah, and I'll be there. And yeah, we could throw some ropes and trees and goof off. I'd love to see how everybody's climbing. I would love to climb with some people on the 27th. It's really kind of limited on like what everybody's needs are really. So I might be honestly cruising around with a walkie-talkie, making sure everybody's okay. But I'm hoping I get to climb and do some stuff or fall some trees. Just because I love being in the canopy of people and kind of seeing what they're doing.
Yeah, it's a good time, man. It's a good time. That's what it's funny. I do a little bit of training stuff out here, training events for people that are interested. Earlier this year, I hosted an aerial rescue day, and man, it was great. I think we had like 15 people out there, and at the end of the day, we're all setting up a span line and putting hammocks on it, and people were zip lining across the property. It was outrageous. Yeah, it was fun though,
and that's
it was a lot. And I love that, man. It was great, you know, to get that time to goof off and kind of setting up those riggings to do those span lines and stuff. It's fun seeing what people are into, what they're doing.
It could get intense just trying to make a zip line, man. It's like so many factors going into that. It would be cool. Hopefully 26 we could do some of that and hang out and, maybe, you know, talk about some things.
I'm really interested in the EMT background. That's I'm probably going to chat you up about that. I'd love to, I wish I had some kind of training in that besides like the first aid and safety. Sometime in the Navy, I did a little bit of training I was part of a stretcher bearer crew. So if something went down, we were kind of the first responders and that was fun, but you know, you're still limited on everything that they would teach
us. It was cool. It's cool to, learn all of it and be like, hey man, body's pretty resilient. And also it's like, hey man, you get really messed up real fast. fine balance.
Oh yeah,
for sure. And
the human body is amazing. When I had my injury, luckily no surgeries or nothing like that. And everything kind of grew back the way it should, kind of like the bones just kind of came back. So the way that the easiest way to explain it was like my T11 and T12. If you took like a Big Mac sandwich and you just smushed it to nothing, like that's what happened. And I remember I went to like my first x-ray and the doctor was like, yeah, you see that? And I was kind of excited. I was like, nah, man, I don't see anything. And he was like, no, that's bad. Like there's supposed to be things there. And it's not. So luckily everything healed properly and naturally. And I just kind of, it was really cool going in and getting x-rays every couple weeks and just like, all right, there's a little bit of something there. It's coming back. Go in again. Oh, there's a little bit more. And then at the end of it, I was like, oh, it's not perfect, but, and it blew my mind. I was like, man, the human body, that's amazing.
Yeah, right dude, there. Right on. Cool. It is, man. And, you know, how much we take, sometimes how much we need to take a break. I got, you know.
How precious
those,
it is too.
You know, there was a dude, I found out the other day, this dude fell out of a tree. He had a break in half on him. And he fell and like broke a ton of vertebrae in his back, tree guy. And I was like, man, how you doing? And he's like, oh, you know, I went home and didn't think nothing was wrong until figured out something was wrong and wrecked himself pretty good. He's on the road to recovery, but I'm sure it's going to be a pretty, pretty long road. Sometimes we take it for granted and sometimes we're like, man, I don't feel that like I hurt myself. And we actually did. So it's pretty crazy how that works.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, things start rolling. Like I said, there's a lot that we kind of did wrong when I got hurt. So I fell and I ended up getting out. I ended up getting up after, you know, I fell and I was kind of like walking around, which shouldn't have happened. I should have been told to stay on the ground, but luckily a lady was nearby and she came over and kind of took charge. She was like, hey, you need to get back down on the ground. You need to not move anymore. And I was like, yes,
yeah, man, dude,
you're right. She's like, where are you hurting? And I was just like, I don't really hurt right now. I just feel stiff.
Like, did you just like have something break out on you or just like,
Yeah, so bad decisions. Like I said, it was the end of the day. We're normally off at like 4. We'll try to get back to the shop, and we were going to knock off. I think it was like 4 o'clock, and we got to that job. And we're like, man, it was Wednesday, and Wednesday is the days that we like to have a couple beers in the parking lot and decompress. So we're like, man, like I already hear the beers cracking, and we're still here on this job. Like, this is terrible. So it was a saucer magnolia, pretty good sized saucer magnolia, probably about 35, 40 foot saucer magnolia. Little bit of house clearance it needed. So I normally was climbing moving rope at that time. So I set a line and I planned on, I isolated it. I planned on, you know, throwing a moving rope system on there and doing the work. And I was told instead it was going to be faster to slap a base anchor on it and just run up there and do the work real quick. So that was the issue, a big issue. Base anchoring, isolated line. Something breaks out. There was nothing for that line to fall back into, you know? So I was going up the tree and I thought about it. I was like, this thing feels kind of terrible. It's a saucer magnolia. I should probably go up there and do something with that tie-in point. And I was like, no, I'll just start beginning this work. Just need to make a couple of luckily I didn't have a chainsaw with me. It was all handsaw work. So I'll go make some handsaw cuts and I'll see how it feels. So worked one side of the tree, came back and I was like getting ready to swing over to another limb. And I was like, man, I should probably, again, these little voices, I probably should go up there and change that tie-in point again. You know, it's back in my head again. And I was like, well, it worked before, it's going to work again. So I went to take a swing to the stem and I just wrenched that top over and snapped it. Like I said, my line was isolated, so I had nothing to fall into. So I think I fell about 27 foot and landed kind of in the sitting position. I landed on my butt in this brick driveway. And knocked the wind out of me.
Yeah, dude. that's intense. Russian takes us sometimes into bad spots.
And it was a lack of experience too. I mean, nobody used canopy anchors or anything at that time, and slapping a base anchor on there wasn't the right thing to do. Those little voices, like I said, anytime I've kind of gotten into some trouble, like doing work, like normally not even like doing tree work, but things just, I've always heard like kind of little voices like,
hey, yeah, man, think about conscience that. Being like, hey, that's probably a bad idea, dude. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And I remember I had it like 3 times that day and I just ignored it.
Dude, we're pretty big on that on our crew. Like, hey man, if you got a concern, say it now. And, if we're, especially if we're in a hazard tree. So we do a lot of like hazard tree mitigation, a lot of like dead trees, big decayed trees, like ash trees or oak trees. We actually rig out a lot of ash trees. I know it's not a big thing, but unfortunately when you have no other choice, it's kind of what you got to do. And luckily our crew is pretty boisterous, and I had a similar situation. I was actually, right before I was getting ready to like in a week, go to Kodiak, Alaska, do this big tree project, a team of us. And, shot a rope into like a big pine, like 110 maybe, and thought it went through the right union, and the rope brushed over union, but we all know pine's like super brushy, so it looked like it from the ground. Bounce tested and it felt soft, and we all know that again, right? Sometimes it gets stuck on a little something and it's like, oh, it feels kind of soft, it feels bouncy, but I'm bouncing on it, it's not breaking. So later come to find out it actually shot through the union I went to go through, but then shot up like 10 feet and then got on a branch and shot out and came down. So it was like through this mess of bad branches, still over union. So I actually got up like 20 feet and same thing, it broke out on me and I went right to the ground and landed on my feet amazingly. And I remember one of our good ground guys, he's looking at me like, you okay? I'm like, I think I'm good. Yeah, really humbling experience. Very humbling experience.
Yeah, dude, there was so much that I learned. I think I was just a little over a year in climbing at that point. And there's some time, you know, I sat at home for a while and had time to think about everything and started watching some videos and went back and kind of shared my thoughts with everything. And I mean, it was a big learning experience on me, for me and the company. And I couldn't speak any more highly about how that whole situation was handled too. I didn't miss a single bit of pay. I was out of work for probably 2 weeks, and then I went back on like light duty stuff, just kind of moping around the shop, doing whatever I could do. But didn't miss any money. Never saw a bill, so I couldn't have been more thrilled about that.
That's a blessing. Yeah, I was like, accounting near miss, I'm like, whew, my family still could be fed this week. That's good.
Oh, yeah, it was beautiful. They were dropping meals off at the house and stuff, so we didn't have to worry about cooking. And I was getting a lot of guys stopping in and visiting me so I wouldn't get bored, because that was a pretty tough time. I mean, honestly, it kind of dark thoughts going through my head, like that darn saucer magnolias been waiting for me my entire life just for me to come in there and mess up, goof up. And now I'm sitting here on the couch with a bunch of pillows stacked around me.
Yeah. It's crazy. That's one cool thing I'd super appreciate about the tour industry. It reminds me of a lot of the climbing industry, like the, you know, rock climbing guiding industry. It's man, they're super tight knit people. You can go anywhere in the world and cut trees and have like stuff to talk about with people who cut trees. Like, it's awesome, you know?
Yeah. Like I said, it was good support. And yeah, even outside, I think, who's a friends with Hans,
Hans,
the bad Hans Tillman, bad hands, whatever. Yeah. He, I think my wife posted a photo whenever I was injured that, you know, I was back home and safe. And he actually sent like a shirt, a bunch of stickers, a card, get well soon and stuff. And it was cool. I really appreciated that.
He's a rad dude.
And didn't even know him. I just think I like sent him a friend request on Facebook or something. And he saw that and was like, "Hey, give me your address, dude."
Yeah, man. Right. That's awesome, man. I'm glad you healed up.
Like, I think I still have that card somewhere sitting in my office. But, yeah, me too. I'm glad it hasn't bothered me at all. When I go out and climb, contract climb, like very few people know about that injury around the area. And it's funny. Sometimes people are like, "Man, like that dude's killing it right now." And like, "Oh yeah, he broke his back at one point." So it's funny. I'll get down to the ground and they're like, "You broke your back and you still do this?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I love it, dude."
Yeah. It's hard to keep somebody down who likes their job. I tell people, I'm like, "I have too much fun at work most days." My wife's like, "Is this really work?" Yeah, like, I come by a job and y'all are like goofing off, like essentially all day.
Okay. These people are paying me.
I get to do this for a living? This is rad. Like, that's kind of how I look at it.
Yeah, man. So are you guys going to check out Expo?
Yeah,
November,
dude.
Or are you going to come down for that?
I'm super excited about that. Hoping to be down there, hoping to meet in person a lot of people that I get to talk to on the interwebs and just, you know, pick each other's brains. So I'm super psyched about that, actually. But yeah, we should be there. Man, got it on the calendar. We were trying to get out to Arborfest. I don't know if you went to that. We're kind of sad we missed it, but we're getting ready to head on out of town for big projects. So we had unfortunately had to get some things tied up and get done. So
yeah, that was I went to Art Fest this year. That was a good one. I had a blast. A lot of guys from the trees came up there, and then hanging out with Daryl, I was kind of piggybacking off of Daryl for a little bit. But Expo is gonna be fun.
I have not, to be honest. So when we kind of like started like, "Hey man, we should be going to a lot more of these events," COVID happened. Everybody understands that shut down the world.
You're
like, man, gung ho, you know, 2020, like this is the year we're going to like hit up all this stuff on the East Coast, because we got, you know, some experience under our belt and we could like, get over there and kind of know what they're talking about now. Getting to some really cool classes. Yeah. And unfortunately we weren't able to make it, but yeah, I'm super stoked about the lineup of instructors going to be at TCIA. I've, you know, messaged a couple of them, they're like, man, you gonna be there?
Dude, it's a blast. I went to the one in Charlotte a couple years ago. So I think I went to Art Fest that year. And then it's like April, they'll hold Art Fest. And then, yeah, Expo is like around November. So I went up to Charlotte for that. And I was kind of thinking it was going to be like an Art Fest thing. It's kind of low key, a little personal. But yeah, Expo just blew my mind. I was like, man, this place is huge. There's so much happening, so much gear and machines and knowledge and people, and it's a good time.
Yeah, I'm stoked. I'm excited to see what gear's out there. I'm gonna have to like leave my wallet at home so I don't spend any money.
Yeah, do that, man. That's a Art Fest. Man, I spent some money up there. I told myself too I wasn't gonna do it, but I was like, oh, all this gear is right here. It's weird when I'm buying stuff online. I'm pretty easy to get out of buying stuff online. But if it's right there in front of me, something shiny and new, I'm like, all right, yeah, this might have to come.
Yeah,
home with
dude,
me.
There's like, just like, you know, ropes or anything involved in that. I'm like, what? That's awesome. And yeah, I'll probably be like, hey man, I should get that. I need that. So.
Yeah, yeah. I don't really need it, but I really want it.
Like, for sure.
I've got another tool for it, man, but this could be better.
I'm excited about it, and I'm really hoping, man, that things like that just get to further improve the industry in the East Coast as a whole, man. Things like that really excite me in general. So,
yeah, and things are definitely changing. Like here, there's a lot of rough kind of companies that are moving in better directions and stuff. And I think those events would help out so much more if they would take the time and get out there and challenge themselves.
Yeah, dude, for sure. And that's like my desire for the camp project, never to be that big, but like be just something that offers training in Virginia, in the region.
That's going to be great too. Like I'm really looking forward to that event. I'm glad you invited me out. And then I think it's going to be such a great couple days, dude. Like I said, I'm going to try to get out and climb the 26th that night. And like you said, having a bonfire and hanging out with you guys and that fellowship and fun alone.
Oh, dude, I'm stoked about it. Yeah, man, I'm hoping we can continue doing that. And I don't know how it is in South Carolina. It's, unfortunately, Virginia, we're kind of behind the times, to be honest. We're like in this time warp here with
it's tough, dude, to get the message the
reception,
man.
Reception's rough. So it's actually interesting. I was talking to Vincent and he was like, man, y'all like never do crane work. I'm like, yeah, we never do crane work. He's like, you know, you guys just don't feel comfortable with crane. I'm like, no, dude, I would love to do crane work. Cranes do not allow us to do crane work here. Not only the crane companies don't ever want to work with tree workers. Yeah. You own a crane, which nobody does, that's a tree industry, you know, tree company here. It's kind of not gonna be able to use a crane. So it's like stuff like that. It's funny. We have the discussion about like ANSI and OSHA and the overlapness of that. And it's like we're talking like a foreign language. I'm like, no, guys, like it's cool. You know, we can ride the ball per, you know, this standard. They're like, no. I'm like, what? So it's a struggle.
Oh, yeah.
But hopefully we'll get there eventually.
Yeah. I worked a tree a while back. It was a crane job. Oak tree in this construction zone. They're building like an underground, just an underground pool for drainage. But they ripped out the entire root system of, I want to say it was an oak of some sort. I remember we got out there and we brought our crane and I was riding the ball up, and then one of the construction sites, the supervisors came running out telling me to get down, and I had to find a different way to do this tree. And I was like, hey man, like I'm having to fly out. I'm having to get the crane to fly me out to these picks because I can't reach them. And he was like, well, you can't ride the ball like that per OSHA standards. And I'm like, well, we follow our ANSI standards. So it was funny. I think we broke the ANSI, like the safety book out on him, and we're like, hey, like the climber shall ride the ball if wearing, you know, a proper harness, if being an arborist, if wearing, you know, the proper ropes and lanyards. And I was like standing in front of the guy, like pointing at everything I had on. And he was just like, well, this isn't happening.
You're like, well, dude,
you compromise this tree to the point that I don't want to be in it.
Like, here's a saddle, here's a rope, here's a crane tie. Yeah, dude, it's a struggle. Struggle bus. I know we've been told, so like not only with the Arborist Camp project, but we go around and do a lot of different education within the community and colleges and garden clubs.
That's cool.
Yeah. Awesome. It is difficult. Sometimes we run into these crane companies and they're like, don't ask me if you can ride the ball again. I've already told your answer. I'm like, what? I'm like, okay, sounds good. And they're like, you know, you can ride a man basket if you want. I'm like, what? A man basket on the crane?
Yeah.
It's really difficult. We got like this one Mondo removal coming up, and we, you know, this one crane company come out, talk pretty good stuff, and then they got there, like, you know, we don't want to deal with you guys first time on this tree. We need to find an easier tree. And we're like, we wouldn't call you for an easy tree that we
That's the unfortunate part too,
is in the area is like, you know, sometimes people make bad names for the tree industry, and that's really kind of a stigmatism. Man, we work hard to really try to change, you know, I mean, just saw protection, like wearing a helmet, wearing saw pants.
I guess I kind of get where they're coming from.
I mean, I see it too. It's like I said, we'll get there. It's like a, you know, double-edged sword, you know, you can't blame them for it. You know, you get a little frustrated, but you can't blame them for it.
I had a new operator a couple months ago. I never worked with him before, and it was a pretty big job. A lot of pine removals. I think there was a couple other hardwoods thrown in there. But I remember he was like, hey, we'll start with that big one first, the crane operator did. And I was kind of looking at him, and I was just like, there's this wide open one in the front. Let's test that one out first. I could do it in probably 3 picks, but I want to see how you and I work together. And he was like, I guess so. I mean, I don't see why you feel you need to do that. And then after we got done with it, we switched over to some of the bigger trees. And I was like, he understood at that point. He was like, yeah, I get it. He was like, I'm a new guy. Well, a new operator to you. But, you know, I've been doing this for a while. And he was like, and then also I've never met you in my life. So it was probably a good idea that we kind of ran it that way. But we had the opportunity on job site to do that, though. That's a bummer with you. It's like, so you want us to pay you to another job? And
we had a
dealer. And
yeah.
Why don't we feel each other out on this one? Well, this is going to be a long day.
Yeah, we had this one guy. He'd do crane work, but he'd come out and wouldn't say nothing. Then he knew us, so he'd be like, "Oh, I got intercoms. We're good," you know. But it's kind of like, you know, he understood the ANSI idea of it. Like, no, these guys are like within the light, but yeah, we're getting there, man. We really hope to invoke training and encourage people to, like, hey man, the arboriculture world and the tree industry is so vast, and there's so many cool aspects of it, and we could all learn from each other. So that's our goal.
We could definitely learn. There's no secret, you know, and the only way things are going to get better is by sharing.
So all right, so do you you contract climb in South Carolina, I'm gathering, like that's what you do mostly?
So yeah, that's what I've been doing since pretty much last July. I worked with my first company for about 5 years. Left out. I moved out to Colorado shortly. It was a bad time to go out there during COVID. Ended up coming back to South Carolina. And I wasn't really filling any of the companies at the time. So I started contracting in July. And I'm actually, the past 2 weeks, I've been working mostly with one company now. And I think I'm going to kick it with them for a minute. I'd like to make my way up to the Treist and work for them full time, because that's just a really good group of dudes. And I like what they're building up there.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, we'll have to, you know, you got to call Daryl, text him. I hit him on this front. We'll just get a cool contract job in like North Carolina. We'll just all converge. Everybody come.
Yeah, that'd be fun, man. I'd love to get on a job with Daryl and you. That would
So anybody listening, awesome. If you got a big job and you need a bunch of cool climbers, give these dudes a call.
we'll work for food.
Yeah, dude, that's our goal too, is go out on one cool project a year and climb and learn how to climb in a different place in the US and just getting familiar with different trees and stuff and different opportunity. Sure.
Yeah. So it's cool. You're in the innovating as well. I mean, you've got the splices and then you're sewing me up a set of suspenders right now. I'm stoked on it, man.
Yeah, man. I think it comes from being a cheapskate. I think
I guess rock climbing and surfer. The whole mountain bike
thing. No, yeah, we just I love being able to be a jack of all trades. Learn that pretty young. So I'm actually a first generation American kid. My parents are from another country, so I grew up hard times, figuring life out, and still hold pretty true to that. Of like, hey man, if there's a better way to do it, I probably could figure it out if I read about it or check out a YouTube video. Trying that out. And yeah, I was like looking at, you know, suspender thing, for instance. I was just looking at them in the industry. I'm like, man, I could sew up something that's probably similar and make a couple of different renditions of that and make something pretty baller. So yeah, I came up with something.
Yeah, I mean, yours is fly, man. I loved it. I've known a couple people that made some suspenders.
Thanks, I appreciate it. Yeah, we'll see. Learn how to sew and it goes a long way. but that is something where, you know, we're trying to do more of and trying to figure out what direction company wise we go. Like, you know, do we try to do more training? Do we try to be maybe a saw shop in the middle of being a tree service as well? It's kind of hard to always pick direction.
It's tough. That's kind of where I'm at with New Heights so far. I was contracting and was kind of getting over that. So I was like, I'll just create something that, you know, what I want and what I can envision, and realized quickly all the hard work in it. And I was just like, man, with no help too, kind of like I was saying, no partner or nothing in it. So now I'm kind of going back to where New Heights and what New Heights originated from. New Heights was a hashtag that I used for a climber training program that I created at my first company. I helped create it. There was a lot of good heads involved in that project, and I was happy to be one of them. But that was the hashtag I used when I would do the training exercise, and it was the New Heights, you know. And now, since I'm not really big into kind of like running a company, I'm like, man, New Heights is going to be geared towards the training that I enjoy, what it originally started out as, and the podcast, because I
enjoy talking to people. I'm glad doing it. And that's like kind of where we're at, you know, this point in business, making like big chess piece moves and trying to figure things out, you know.
You guys should go check out, I'm sure you'll meet him in November. And Vincent's coming up from the Triest. That would be a good company to reach out to. And I think Craig and David, they've got so much knowledge there and how the direction they've moved that company and what they're achieving. And could probably give you a hand on that.
Yeah, man. Dude. Let you try to figure out the next step. Always moving and kind of some, you know, so it's kind of interesting as far as business. We own a business, but we do a lot of just production work. So it's kind of not what you see in your typical small tree service. So we're cutting production, essentially, climbing production. Yeah, big job.
Doing pretty big jobs,
It's pretty rad because we've gotten a call to climb and cut all over the country. We just turn it down because we got families. So, I mean, this year we went to Alaska. We got called to go to Colorado and Helilog for like 3 months. That was a super rad opportunity, but had to turn it down, unfortunately. Been asked to go, I think, Oregon and then California. So we'll see what happens there. And that's always the deciding factor. You know, in the tree world, we could get pretty starry-eyed about a few bucks. And you got to.
Yeah. Were you going to do like Colorado for firemen work?
You know, my brother did hotshot stuff, but he was also on a helitack crew. So he flew on a helicopter out there. Yeah, so he had a buddy he flew on their plane. They'll subcontracted to the Forest Service, and he owns a bunch of sky cranes. And they were hella logging Keystone Resort in Colorado.
Keystone.
Yeah, so back in March, we got the offer to go out there and hella log Timberfall. But, you know, we had a lot going on. And both my brothers just had babies, or their wives had babies. So they're pretty new dads and, making moves as far as a company as well. So a lot going on that we just had to, give up the offer. But we're trying to go out like once a year now and go somewhere else and cut. So, yes. So we'll see. We did go somewhere. Yeah, we went to Kodiak for like 10 days and cut. Now super rad. Cool project. Came home and we're like, man, this is something we should try to do more often if we can. So.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool, man. So how are you getting those contracts? Is that just through the Forestry Service or kind of reaching out?
Yeah, so there's guys that, people that we know cutting wise. People we just make connections with socially. One thing that my brother is really good at, Aaron, is making connections and talking. He's a good networker. I just go to wherever I'm told. He's like, hey, man, we're going to go cut here. I'm like, right on. Sounds good. I'm pretty more chill about it, but he's super good at making, connections and doing stuff, and especially production wise. So like, Alaska, we got asked to go and, help a church out there, and we mitigated like 100 cottonwood trees, hazard trees. And yeah, that was a cool experience. Nice. Long flight, figuring out how to get equipment out there and saws and climbing gear and guides.
Yeah, I imagine that's pretty tough. When I went out to Colorado to go do my working interview for a company I was helping out, I was so confused about how I was going to get my stuff over there. I think I ended up I pretty much just kind of left my handsaw and chainsaws and stuff behind and took all my climbing gear. And that was pretty easy. So when I got there, they're like, what do you need? I was like, yeah, just a handsaw. I didn't know how they would feel about a silky saw in my bag. So
yeah, that was a crazy trip, man. We shipped, imagine this, stressful shipping four power heads through the postal service. So we loaded up a 500 a 461, a 193.
You got that scary too.
Shipping this box to Kodiak, Alaska in the postal service. We all know the Postal Service does not have a great reputation. And I was like, oh, dear Lord, please let it get there. It got there. And then all of our gear, though, we took nothing. But everybody's carry-on was all their clothes for the whole trip. And all your we had 50 pounds each to have as a check-in. And that was all quick. That was all gear. It's all gear. Ropes.
Yeah, that's how I did it in Colorado. I went out there. I had like one bag carry on for my clothes for the week. And then luckily my scale matched theirs. I remember using a scale at the house to make sure that my climbing bag was right at 50.
You were like within like 2 pounds. It was,
I think when I got there, I was like at 49.6 or something. And they're like, man, you put this on exact.
I'm glad for the experience. It was a long couple months preparing for it, just the stress on that. So my brother Brandon and I kind of ran it like the crew bosses on the team. And then everybody else pretty much just, they had to show up, right? So everybody was like handpicked and for their skill set and what they could do. And they showed up and it was really rad. Obviously, yeah, dude,
bunch of killers.
Obviously, some guys from our crew, they went because we work with them every day, so they know exactly what we're gonna do and how we're gonna do things. We had a couple other guys go out, and we went to Raleigh. Man, we left at 2 a.m. to Raleigh, and then we got there at 7 o'clock at night their time. That was a long way, and then got to cutting the next day, like 6 a.m. up and at it, and cutting trees.
Tired, a little
long days because it didn't get dark there till like 12 at the time. So good time.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome, man. So you got anything? Well, of course you got a lot to look forward to, man. You got the Arborist Camp project coming up and then Expo following that.
We're doing a couple local small stuff. Man, we got excited about a super cool piece of equipment we just put down on. So that's nerve wracking, but also exciting times. The grapple truck, you know, with a big compa articulating grapple on it. So we're excited on that. It's got a 60 foot reach around there. So help us out quite a bit.
Oh, sweet. Yeah.
So yeah, excited to see what direction that helps us. At least maybe get home a little earlier. So.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. That's where you always get hung behind trying to figure out how to move all that. Got this big tree down. Yeah, now we got to figure out how to get all this wood out of here.
Yeah, man.
I think that loader is going to come in clutch.
Yeah, but man, exciting stuff, man. Yeah. I do thank you for your time, for allowing me to be on here, man. I remember I messaged you. I'm like, man, I'm probably not even cool enough to be on there. But hey, meet somebody. I'm happy.
No, dude. And I like talking with anybody. And this was, I was excited about this. I mean, I've been following your page for a while, and I think we've exchanged words every once in a bit. And then when you reached out, I was so stoked. I was telling Daryl about it, and Daryl was like, that's going to be a good one. I was like, yeah, man. I was like, we'll have to do another one and get the brothers on. Maybe we'll do another one, get the brothers on, and then really push the, that Arborist Camp project. So you said you had about 25 people up right now.
Our goal is to, I mean, we'd love to hit, you know, we don't try to aim super fast, like 30, but I'm seeing it might hit past that. So if we get 45 guys and girls there, that'd be a pretty awesome turnout, in my opinion, for something tucked in the mountains.
It's beautiful. Like I said, I looked at the location. I was kind of Googling that Camp Crossroads, and I was like, that's super nice. Dude, like, everyone's going to love that.
Us. Who knows? So y'all bring some swim trunks. Yeah, you got a lot of cool things going on there.
Heck yeah.
It's gonna be awesome. I don't know how the podcast will work connection wise. I know they do have Wi-Fi there. But man, there might be some cool people
It'd be fun to do one up there. I mean,
dude, yeah, they got Wi-Fi, then there might be some cool dudes to interview while you're there. So you might want to think of that.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. I'll bring the soundboard up, bring the extra mics, and that'd be really cool. It'd be fun to bring in Daryl and your brothers again, and whoever else. I mean, it'd be great. I mean, I just love hearing and where people are at, what they're doing, and where they're trying to go.
There, and it's gonna be here before we know it, man. And guys, listening, if you haven't signed up yet, check out the Arborist Camp Project on Instagram. Check it out on Facebook. Message me, you know, whether it be on there or my personal account, and we'll put you on the roster, and we could all learn something. So that's the biggest thing. We can't come there like closed-minded. That's what I'm telling people. Got to come willing to learn, because we could all learn something, some tip or trick.
Oh yeah, I mean, that's a great thing. With another thing I love about this job is that, you know, I normally pick something up through the day that I didn't know, you know, or through the week, something major happens and a good learning experience and something to share. Dude,
I posted a, you know, story the other day of something I learned from Daryl at that training with the Rope Runner Pro. Yeah. And I was like, that is slick. Oh, with the runner. Like, I never thought about it. And, So I was like, that's cool.
Well, heck yeah, man. Well, I want to hold up any more of your time. So if you guys want to reach Ryan, you can look him up on dudefarrow_116 on Instagram. And, I'll add it into the podcast info as well. And, also put in the, for the Arborist Camp project as
well.
Thank
you so much for your time, Chris. I really appreciate it, man. You keep rocking it out, and I'm excited to see where this goes, dude. Keep it up, man. All right.
Yeah, man. I'll see you in August, brother.
Bye.
All right. Later, bud.